Faithful. Praise God. Amen. Good to see Chantel and Natella again. God bless them. Amen. Very thankful for all of you who are here. And what a powerful message. Jesus saves. Amen. And if that were not true, we would just be going through the motions of being part of a club or an organization, an association, and the like interests and fellowship and so on. All of that would be good. But I'm thankful for the power that the Lord reveals in his salvation. Tremendous power. And that power to heal, that power to deliver, and that power to save. So Jesus saves. What a great message. The focus thought brings out everyone. I'm thankful that everyone is included in God's plan. And he will open the hearts and save those who seek after him. And that open heart aspect is real important. We'll look at Lydia. We've mentioned her a few times in our series so far. And we'll look at her again because of the open heart that she demonstrated. Not only that, our key verse, our focus verse, brings out how she worshiped God. And that was part of her open heart. And then she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. In other words, she listened. She paid attention. She received the word of the Lord. And because of her open heart, she was able to access the grace of God and the saving power of the Lord. And that wasn't the end of it. That was the beginning. And the Lord used her in a wonderful way. And thank God for faithful women who are making themselves available to serve the Lord today. How many have read a book called Oma? A book called Oma. Come on, Aaron, raise your hand. There's amazing stories that are told there of an elderly woman. Well, she was young at the time, some time back. I guess maybe the middle 1900s or so, maybe later. But the Lord used her powerfully in outreach into small communities, and she raised up many churches, and the Lord used her in a powerful way with faith, with prayer, and the hand of God being demonstrated through her. So she and many others, praise God. Look at here, Brother Steve, walking without his cane, praise God. Amen. Thank the Lord. There's an answer to prayer. Oh, I've got you on the prayer list here, but I'll take you off now. Praise God. That's amazing, bro. Amen. Thank the Lord for his hand upon you. Both knees replaced, and just over a month later, walking around without his cane. That's awesome. Praise God. And that just shows, again, how powerful the Lord is and how he can work on our behalf, how he can answer prayer, and how he can minister to our situations and to our needs. Praise God. And that includes everybody. Everybody can see those kinds of results as we trust the Lord and believe in him. And certainly the hand of the Lord being demonstrated as Paul and Silas ministered in Acts chapter 16. And then we'll just take a look here through several examples in the book of Acts, because there is a pattern that is established of how the Lord moves and works in people's lives. And that pattern is what we adhere to, because the necessity of following through with what the Scripture says is very important. I'm thankful that, again, the plan of the Lord includes everyone. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the chapter there says that all should come to repentance. And two things become very clear in that passage. First of all, that's the scope of God's plan. And then the second thing is the importance of repentance. Repentance. Amen. There are many who would seek the hand of God, the favor of God, answer to prayer without a change in their lives. Thank God. Brother Steve has a repentance experience in his background and baptism in the name of Jesus, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and a faithful walk with God through the years. And he is able to trust God for the healing touch. Amen. To, you know, just call on the Lord like a Santa Claus. Sometimes people are disappointed and turn away from the Lord. When they really need to have their heart opened and have the touch of God in their lives to bring them to a place of repentance. And thank God that there is that aspect of the hand of the Lord. Now, there are some who went forth with a message from the Lord, and we're maybe surprised at the outcome. Jonah certainly fits that category. His attitude was very poor. Well, his willingness was not there. I noticed reading through Jonah again how many times he ran from the presence of the Lord. I think there's at least three instances where from the presence of the Lord is mentioned in Jonah. And most of us who want revival, most of us who want to see souls saved and want to see God move, we run to the presence of the Lord. Jonah was running from. And then he got more than he bargained for. As a ride in the ship and then a ride in the whale just didn't turn out the way he thought. But the message of salvation to lost people is what he was to take. Actually, it was a message of judgment. There really wasn't even a mention of mercy. He just was told to take the message to Nineveh, and God's going to destroy this land. And, of course, we know they did repent, and that's what brought the mercy of the Lord. Thank God they're always connected, and the Lord is able to work in that way. But Nineveh was a large city that, you look at the background, they didn't treat Israel very good. There were some atrocities that were committed by the people of Nineveh against Israel. And that's probably why Jonah wanted the judgment of God to come on them. That's why he didn't want to warn them. He didn't want to preach to them. He wanted to see God bring judgment and vengeance upon them. And we're reading between the lines there some, to some degree. But thank God there was repentance that that Nineveh demonstrated. And then the corresponding mercy that God would fulfill. And we can conclude from that story that you go with a willing heart and the Lord is going to substantiate his word, fulfill his word. And when there is repentance, thank God, there is mercy as well. A negative response could have been Nineveh's way. They could have said, "Who is this guy anyway? He looks kind of wrinkled up, and he's smells kind of bad, and like he's been around a whale for a while." You know, they could have had a reaction that said, "Lock this guy up. He's some kind of weirdo." But they listened. And thank God there was not a negative response, but a positive response of, again, of repentance and the mercy of the Lord that was extended to them. Praise God. And let's look at a couple of other examples. Philip, in Acts chapter 8, had a tremendous revival going in Samaria. And it's very possible that revival had roots in John chapter 4, where the woman at the well has an encounter with the Lord that really opens her eyes in a process of revelation of who was talking to her. First of all, a man, secondly, a Jew, thirdly, a prophet, then the Christ, then the Savior of the world. She just recognized how much Jesus could do in her life. And she went to the whole community and said, come on, come on, come see a man. He told me about my past. He told me about my life. You know, how could he have done that? He must be the Christ. And so they came to hear, and they gave the testimony later. Now we believe, not because of your word, but we heard him ourselves. That's the best way to get your mind made up. To hear the Lord for yourself. Receive the Lord for yourself. And know his power to minister in a great way. So then, when Philip goes to Samaria in Acts chapter 8, revival breaks out, and repentance takes place, baptism in the name of Jesus, and they waited for the Holy Ghost to come. And Peter and John came from Jerusalem, laid hands on them, and sure enough, it happened, just like it had in other instances in other times, because the pattern is very important, and miracles of healing, deliverance, demonic presence being taken care of, the hand of God shown in a great way. And then I really like the way the Bible says in one of the verses, great joy in the city. Amen. The angels at the birth of Jesus talked about the joy and the good tidings and so on. I'm thankful that there's joy that accompanies our service to the Lord. Amen. Not a burden, not a, oh, no, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. No, thank God there's joy when we give ourselves to the Lord. And then, much to Philip's surprise, perhaps, he was directed by the Lord to go out into Gaza. And so he's out there in the desert place, and I can't imagine what must have gone through his mind. I'm leaving a city that's coming to the Lord. We have baptisms, you know, every service, people being filled with the Holy Ghost all over the place, and I'm out here in the desert. And but the Lord had a plan, and again, it shows us that everyone is included in God's plan, and that all can come to repentance. Amen. And so here he is standing there, and the Spirit directs him. Again, thank God the Spirit is going to guide. He's going to provide. And he shows him a chariot. And he runs over and sees the man who was in there, an Ethiopian, returning to his homeland from Jerusalem, where he had been worshiping, and he has a scroll of Isaiah. He's reading from this scroll as his horse slowly moves along on the road. And Philip inquires, "Do you understand what you're reading?" That's a good question, isn't it? Obviously, the man's heart was open, and he was inquiring of the things of God. But he needed to understand. And the answer that the Ethiopian gave must have really underlined for Philip how important it is to follow the leading of God and the Spirit. How can I except some man guide me? And so that was Philip's understanding. Oh, I'm the one that's to guide. I'm the one that's going to show him. So he was invited up the chariot, he climbed aboard, and at the same verse began to preach Jesus. Praise God. I'm thankful we can preach Jesus. Amen. As he's the one who is able to bring about the change and the hand of God to do a work. So he's teaching about Jesus, and finally, as they're journeying along, probably just at a real slow walk, and the chariot, you know, kind of bouncing along, and the Ethiopian says, "Look, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" That's a real good question. What does hinder people from being baptized? What does create a roadblock for them that they don't obey the word of God? Well, thank the Lord. Philip was quick to respond. If you believe, then we're going to baptize you. And they stopped the chariot. They both got down. They both got in the water. Now, if sprinkling was an accepted form, probably the man had water in the chariot. And Philip could have dipped his fingers in there and sprinkled. But no, there was enough water for two grown men to get into and for Philip to baptize the Ethiopian. Praise God. Because of an open heart, because of repentance, because of the word of God, and the necessity of obeying that word and following the pattern that is in God's word. Likewise, with Peter going to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius had an angel appear to him, and Peter had a vision on the rooftop. Maybe simultaneous, but within a few days of each other. And so Cornelius dispatched a soldier and some servants to go to Joppa like he was instructed. And Peter is having this vision. It's kind of interesting that it had to be done three times. And the message that the Lord was giving to him was, don't call what the Lord has cleansed common or unclean. Now, there's a message there as far as the Judaistic dietary laws. I think the Lord was showing that you don't have to follow those. But more importantly, he was showing it's going to be everyone who can receive the Spirit, everyone who can be baptized, everyone who can be saved. See, because up to this point, it had just been Jews and those who had a Hebrew heritage, like the Samaritans. Wasn't any Gentiles. In fact, they still held to the idea that it was wrong for them to go to a Gentile's house. And so to be invited to Cornelius' house, you know, who is a Gentile, and he's a centurion in the Roman army, I mean, two big strikes against him. And it's no wonder that Peter got six guys to come with him. Hey, you guys, I got to go over here. Caesarea, would you come with me? Ah, what are we going to do? Well, a centurion, their eyes went up, who's a Gentile, their eyebrows went up even higher, said he saw an angel and to send for me to tell them how to be saved. And they kind of looked at each other, I'm sure, and thought, well, I guess so. And so they went, praise God, and got to Cornelius' house, and then the story began to unfold, praise God. And the first thing that Peter perceived, now this is, what is amusing here is Peter had said in Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off. But it's years later now, years later, where he's saying, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Long time for that perception to come. But the Lord made sure that everyone was included. Praise God. And while Peter was preaching, while he was speaking, the Holy Ghost fell. Oh, my, you talk about open hearts. You talk about hungry people for the things of God. They couldn't wait. And while Peter was still speaking, they received the Holy Ghost. And the six guys who came with Peter were astounded. They're speaking in tongues. They've received the Holy Ghost the same way we did. Praise God. And then the Bible says Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. See, that pattern is established because Jesus said clear back in John 3 to be born of the water and of the Spirit. That's why those two elements are in repetition in each case of people being baptized and being filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I'm thankful that the question that Peter asked after things quieted down a little bit and the speaking in tongues and the rejoicing and worshiping God and so on went on for a while. He didn't put a cap on it. But finally he said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who've received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And there's that connection again, born of the water, born of the Spirit. And so they didn't leave either of them out, and they followed through on the command just as they had said. Praise God. And just to continue with the pattern, Acts chapter 19, when Paul encounters those 12 followers of John the Baptist, first thing he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You know, their hearts were open. They'd repented. They had belief in God. They had a hunger for the things of the Lord. They obeyed John the Baptist. They followed his teachings until they had this encounter with Paul. And then Paul baptized them, laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost because the new birth was definitely important. Praise God. So, Acts 16, Paul and Silas in Philippi, we looked at that last Sunday. Lydia coming to the Lord, the deliverance of that girl who had demonic power to tell future fortune-telling, so to speak, in her ability through demonic power and her deliverance then. And then the jailer being delivered. Praise God. I'm thankful that the hand of the Lord was continually demonstrated by his power and the direction that Paul and Silas had. The Macedonian, the vision of the Macedonian saying, come over and help us, was not, they were already in the missionary journey. They were already trying to fulfill what we call the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And this was direction that they had to be in the place that God wanted them to be. And praise God, I'm thankful that the hand of the Lord was there. Have you heard the saying, you can't steer something that isn't moving? And I add a corollary to that. It is a whole lot easier to change direction going forward than it is going backwards. And you have a big windshield and a tiny rearview mirror. Keep going forward. Amen. And so the direction that they were to follow through on was given by the Spirit of God. And thank the Lord for that power and that blessing that would come as they found people that were hungry for the Lord. Prayer meetings down by the river. That's how they discovered Lydia. And I suppose, the women gathering down there to do laundry and then having prayer time. I'm not sure if that was what was going on or what. But they had prayer. And Paul and Silas came to that prayer meeting and began to teach them about the things of the Lord. And Lydia and her whole household were baptized. I like the way household is emphasized here in Acts 16. Lydia and her household, the jailer and his household. Cornelius in Acts 10 and his household. Praise God. And then I shared with you how in Cayana, the family that had escaped a suicide, the dad had been cut down by his wife as he hung there by the twine. He just seconds away from his life being extinguished. And then both of them getting baptized, both of them receiving the Holy Ghost. Praise God. A household. Amen. That came to the Lord. That's still God's plan, isn't it? Amen. And his power to be displayed in an amazing way. Praise God. The lesson talks about a missionary in Africa who, or South America rather, who received a request from a non-apostolic denomination wanting to know about baptism in the name of Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And there was no other apostolic church in the area, no other witness in the area, no way that they could have heard by testimony or by witness or whatever about the message of truth. And so the missionary arranged to go, but he was very curious. How did you find out? How did you know? And the pastor of this church had a tract, had a paper that described, you know, the new birth experience, and then had the address there. I remember one missionary, I can't remember if it was the Freemans or the Eichards or somebody, but they used tracts and called them paper preachers. Paper preachers. They handed out these paper preachers. And praise God, the efforts of somebody who just gave a tract, gave a paper, and somebody had been visiting the city, took that tract back to their community, showed it to the pastor. The pastor studied the Word of God and then had that interest of the Word of the Lord and made contact with the pastor of the church in that faraway city, who and the missionary then kept coming and teaching them the Word of God. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful that when there's an open heart, when there's a desire for the things of God, that the Lord can lead and his direction. Sister Glover's grandmother, go tell again what happened there. But that led to, you know, the finding that tract in her yard, that led to opening up the understanding of truth, of receiving the Holy Ghost and being baptized in the name of the Lord. And so your efforts may seem, you know, almost futile and small and so on, but you never know where the seed being planted is going to produce results. And so, thank God. Keep up your efforts. Keep up your invitation. Keep handing out tracts or church cards and then see what the Lord's going to do, because the power of God can come forth in an amazing way. Another example in Acts 18 was a young man named Apollos. And Apollos, the Bible says, was mighty in the scripture. He was eloquent. He was very, obviously very intelligent, very sharp, and he knew the Word of God and had spent time in the scrolls and in the synagogue, and so he was telling people about the Lord being Christ. Well, there were some workers who heard about him. And their names were Aquila and Priscilla, and they listened to him. And then after a meeting, they came alongside of him and began to expound the way of God more perfectly. They didn't, poke holes in his theology. They didn't say, you're getting it all wrong. No, they took him the next step. Praise God. And no doubt he received the message of the new birth as well, because Aquila and Priscilla were workers with the Apostle Paul and no doubt had their doctrine straight as well. And so Apollos, being baptized, being filled with the Holy Ghost, because of the consistency in the Word of God, he used his giftedness and his ability and his intellect to bless the church as well. And thank God for that power and that blessing that the Lord would minister in a special way. Praise God. Romans 2 and 4 comes to mind when we talk about the openness and the willingness to receive from the Lord. And the apostle is talking about the goodness of God and the hand of the Lord and the blessing that can be there. And then he just concludes, it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Praise God. And I look back, and I want you here for just a moment now to look back at your conversion, your coming to the Lord. How did the goodness of God intervene in your situation? How did the Lord display his goodness in your life? How was there an urge, a desire for you to start seeking God, and the steps that you took? You don't have to give a whole, the whole thing here, but how did it start? How did the Lord get your attention? And I know his goodness. You've heard me tell about being in the hospital, and Sister Brooks, who came from Sitka over to the Edgecombe side, and it was an island. You had to take a little boat. It wasn't a bridge back in those days. And she would make that trip, ride the boat, ride the bus, come upstairs to the fourth floor in the hospital, and teach us kids about the things of the Lord. And then the time after my surgery, and I was in bad pain and homesick and just feeling bad, about 12 years old, laying in the hospital bed there, and Sister Brooks came and laid her hand on me and prayed, and the pain gone. For that moment, the pain was gone. The physical therapist people made sure the pain came back. Bend that knee. But the goodness of God, oh my, how amazing. And then the Lord being patient with me for 3 years later, finally, my aunt and uncle coming to the Lord in August, being baptized, and that really began to tug at my heart, and I began to attend the church on my own. I can't remember anybody inviting me. Nobody said, Mitch, you need to come, or anything like that. I just started going. And then 3 months later, baptized in the name of Jesus. Praise God. And haven't stopped then. Have no desire to stop or to go another way. Praise God. It just gets better and better. So how did the goodness of God be displayed in your life? The goodness of God that leads to repentance. Sister Sherry?
So
How old was your daughter when she started going? 12 years old, going to a Sunday school service, and then that brought you along as well. Yeah. Good. Brother Rick.
Dear friends of ours have invited us to church again and again, and we hadn't gone to church. Invited Sarah to go to Sunday school, so I said that was okay. And then soon after that, invited Phoebe to go, and that was okay. And, all the time, Brother French would come right over here and just visit as a friend. And so all this friendship was going on, and I wouldn't go to church. And so I was left out. Then there was a fire that burned the Pentecostal church that was by your parsonage there. And so I went over to help put out the fire. And Brother Cole was the pastor at the time. And he asked, what can I do to help? And he said, if you could just come to church, which was going to be at the garage at your home. And so I went to be with that service. And that was the beginning of coming to church. But it was the outreach of friends and watching my family and love the Lord that was the beginning of my change. And later, Sarah and I, our daughter, received the Holy Ghost at the very same time.
Praise God. That's awesome. Now, how long had Sister Phoebe been going to church and before you held out for 5.5 years. My goodness. That's a lot of praying. A lot of faithfulness. Amen. And then the friendship of people that you knew and saw their lives to be real. And then the need in the community, the building, burning down. So then... Okay, so here you go. Praise God. And you received the Holy Ghost at a camp meeting?
No, that was the first time I ever really saw it.
Oh, okay.
But it was at the trailer church. Sarah was 9 and had to be baptized over Kenai.
Oh, okay.
Brother Meadows.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Praise God. Brother Meadows prayed my mom through the Holy Ghost, so that I can relate to that. So, anybody else?
Well, I'd like to say how it started with me. It was a teenager in Montpelier, Vermont. I attended a different denominational church, and I walked by every day to go to school, to go to work, or whatever. And I had things troubling me, and I'd stop in at the church and pray just all by myself. They didn't lock the doors back then. That I had as a teenager. And so it took all those years. I'd never heard of Pentecostalism or Pentecost or anything in Vermont, but it took coming here.
Praise God. So,
I had an experience.
You felt the power of God, yeah.
Yes, and I think.
Once you did receive and spoke in tongues, it's pretty hard to ignore. Okay, just in the few examples that we've heard here, you'll notice a common thread: friends and family. Friends and family. That was most influential in bringing people to an experience in the Lord. And that's the way it still works. There are a few who will come as a result of a newspaper ad or a media ad of some sort. And of course, we got all kinds of media now. And there will be a few who will come just driving by and so on. But over 80%, it's still family and friends that make the contact, that make the outreach. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't quit. Let your outreach continue on. Praise God. Because the Lord honors that, and His goodness continues to bring people to repentance. Also, there's a verse, 2 Corinthians 7 and 10, that talks about godly sorrow that brings repentance. The goodness of God brings repentance. Godly sorrow brings repentance. And worldly sorrow, by contrast, there brings death. And we see a lot of depression. We see a lot of suicide in our world today. But godly sorrow is what people need to feel. And thank the Lord, His Spirit still can work in situations where, you know, the door may be closed, the situation may look like it's impossible, but God works. Amen. Pastor Farmer, if you were you know, hear about his background and his involvement with gangs and motorcycles and, you know, the rough character that he was. But prayer and contact with friends, again, would be the change that the Lord would bring. And thank God that it's all that the Lord would provide, and the household that would come forth. So everyone needing salvation is what the Scripture says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why all should come to repentance. Praise God. And this redemption that the Lord provides is something that we can rejoice in again and again. And the redemption involving the Lamb, John the Baptist pointing to the Lord and saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." They didn't think world in the sense of everybody. They thought world in the sense of the Hebrew nation. But the Lord means the world. And thank God that includes all of us today, the redemption that the Lord would bring forth. And Revelation 13:8 talks about the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was God's plan, God's thought. And God's intention for all. And for that Lamb to be slain from the foundation of the world means the Lord saw it. The Lord knew what was going to take place, what was going to happen. And thank God for the power that He would reveal and how He would manifest Himself in flesh. That's why the Christmas season is such an exciting time. Not because of Santa Claus, not because of the reindeer, not because of the nice decorations and the gifts. Those are all traditional parts, I suppose, of this time of the year. But to realize that God manifested Himself in flesh. Amen. Came in fulfillment of His word and came for the whole world. Everyone. I'm so excited that the Lord would be inclusive of everyone. Praise God. Billy Cole had tremendous results in Thailand, and then he went from there to become a missionary evangelist and had incredible results everywhere, in the Philippines, Papua New Guinea, and here in America as well, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And someone asked him the secret that he had for having such tremendous results. And he said, it was real simple. He just prayed and asked God where he needed to be, and then he showed up. He just went where God directed, and then God showed up. Praise the Lord. And the Lord will continue to do that as we put our trust in him and know that if he manifested himself in flesh, you know, that Christmas so long ago, thank God, he's still interested in manifesting himself among flesh and in flesh as his spirit is poured out upon all flesh. And again, that's the promise from the Word of God in Joel chapter 2, and then in Acts chapter 2, the beginning of that fulfillment and continuing on as God doing a tremendous work. Praise God. I'm glad it included you and me. Amen. And I'm glad it'll include many more as we put our trust in the Lord and know his work is going to be fulfilled. Let's continue to hold the Churchills up in prayer. Sister Churchill is improving, and things are looking more positive, but still a very, very critical situation. We want to hold the Churchills up in prayer. Brother Wade is experiencing pain in his hands, gout in his hands, and he'd really like to be able to walk again. So let's pray that the Lord would minister to him. Amen. Brother Farmer with his hip. Brother Merle is going to surgery this week, this Thursday, on his shoulder, and we want the Lord to be with him. And Sister Glover's family, the uncle that passed away, service on Tuesday. So we'll hold them up in prayer. Let's stand together.